Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before we get into the deep dive on trying to fix America's pastime, ESPN is going to do these individual parts on a bigger series talking about baseball throughout the season. Yesterday, Jeff Fry, who I think Bassick knows very, very well, former major leaguer, tweeted a video of a youth baseball player. How would you describe what this kid did in the video after making great contact?
I would quote the great Thrill Ride and say he was pimping it with the buffest swag you have ever seen. So what had happened was, in more detail, right-handed batter,
yes,
absolutely hits a missile, takes a few steps, turns around, his teammate is on the third base dugout, so he's running down to first, turns around, overhand axe throws the bat across the diamond towards his dugout, pounds his chest a few times, starts to run, you know, does that little, kind of a shimmy, runs around the first base coach, keeps going, pounding his chest a few more times, and then does a Pedro Serrano as he's about to cross home plate where he's just like, how do you like that, grasshopper? And he stomps on home plate. That's the best way to describe that, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that was a very good way. He's running up the first baseline. Well, he's not running. He's strutting up the first baseline, turns back, chunks the bat across the diamond. Looks like it could have connected with the umpire, and then slows down towards home plate with a big unified stomp with the rest of his teammates. So Jeff Fry, former major league player and baseball agent, tweeted the video and said, this has... Yesterday, at least last night, 3.5 million views. This makes me sad. We haven't taught this generation how to behave on a baseball field. This is what we get. Let the kids play isn't the message we should be sending, obviously. Emily Jones, who works on the Rangers broadcasts, she writes back. Maybe you haven't been taught that not everyone learned the game the same way you did. Your way isn't the only way, nor is it the right way. It's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. As for me, give me all the celebrations from all the people all the time. I mean, it is a game. So that was the – we should hit retweet on our social media accounts so Tolos who didn't see it can judge it. But basically, this speaks to a bigger discussion of old school versus new school. First, your individual judgment of this incident. We'll go around the room because – your boys got involved with youth baseball, and I have my take as well.
Well, listen, I am the dad I'm one of the coaches on my kids' team, and I tell them when they hit a home run, they don't hit no doubters. Okay, nobody's really hitting no doubters, but occasionally my 8-year old's team will be playing on a field short enough to where they can hit no doubters and coach pitch. I said, when you guys hit a no doubter, you got to yell out yoga pants or Yahtzee or Froyo or something. You just yell it out. But the axe throw of the bat, I think, is a bit much. Like, I think it's a bit much for the overhand throwing across the diamond. I love bat flips. Throw it straight up in the air. The helicopter bat throw, axe toss, that's probably a bit much for me.
Yeah, I saw the video multiple times, and I agree with RJ. When you're throwing a bat like it's Thor's hammer, that's a little dangerous right there. But then I was like, let me do a little research, even though my first initial reaction was like, oh, this kid's going to get beaned in the head. And he probably deserves it. So I did some research on it. This happened, by the way, at Wayland Baptist University up the road in Wichita Falls. So that's where this occurred. And then I was like, why would this happen? Why would he just chunk his bat? I mean, was it that monumental of a moment? Apparently, they were down by 8 runs. And that homer is what sent them the go-ahead run. And so I'm like, okay, a little backstory here, but it still doesn't take away from my initial reaction, which is like, you don't do that because consequences will come either to you or your teammate.
I agree with you. I agree with both of you. It's way too much. Way too much sitting there and chunking it across the diamond. You know, Emily's reaction to it, I don't necessarily agree with. It's not, oh, maybe you haven't been taught. You know, old curmudgeon, that's the way she's making Jeff Fries sound. Give me all the celebrations all the time. No, we can't get mad at Jalen Smith and not get irritated with a celebration like this. You know, when you are celebrating, and again, just in a football game or a basketball game, and you're getting your ass kicked, and you do your little choreographed dance in the end zone, and you're losing by 28 in the fourth quarter, or you make a big third down catch and you're down 20 in the fourth quarter, I think you look stupid. I think you look dumb. Now, this, I'm glad Troy went and did the homework in describing this moment. This moment warranted a bigger celebration, but this was just a little bit too much. I'm not one of these guys who goes, all celebrations should just be allowed all the time. It's a game. Yeah, but, you know, don't be an ass. And don't be overly cocky, overly arrogant. You know, tick off your opponent, have something get, you know, come back in reciprocation towards one of your own teammates. I thought it was a little much, but it's a bigger discussion about fun, no fun, and Major League Baseball that ESPN is talking about with a series.
Yeah, you got to have fun, and I'm all for the bat flips, and I'm all for taunting, and I'm all for – now, pitchers, when you strike somebody out, I'm not interested in your fist pump, okay? You get these guys out 75% of the time.
Yeah, but once again, if this guy's going to celebrate coming back from an eight-run deficit and you're a pitcher and the bases are loaded and it's a full count, then absolutely celebrate.
All right, look, I get it. You come back from a base load, nobody out, you strike out the side, knock yourself out. But, like, you know, when you just strike Mike Trout out, I'm like, I'm not interested. You know, you're getting him out 70% of the time. At least you should. Well, maybe this year it's
he's a horrible player.
Maybe this year it's like 55%. But you can't just let people do whatever they want. Okay, this isn't it's like with pizza. Okay, I think you should be able to put anything on pizza except pineapple. And I think we need to have a law banning pineapple on pizza. Okay, because it's just terrible. And I think we need a law banning the overhand axe throw of a bat. Flip the bat anywhere, take your shoes off, throw them in the air, throw your helmet up in the air, carry the bat around you, around with the thing, holding it up like the hammer of God. Do that. But the overhand axe throw, that's a bit much.
All right, here's part one of the series that ESPN is doing. The state of baseball inside the biggest questions baseball is facing with the future of the sport at stake. And let's kind of connect your first point to this old school, new school bat thing of deciding what you want to be. Yes. I think this is a very good question that you brought up in deciding what segment of your fan base you're trying to solidify or recruit.
Yeah. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to reach the fan they don't have or keep the one they do? Because I don't want to know how to improve baseball by asking the fans it already has. Okay? The fans it already has, yeah. I'm not interested in how to improve the game. They already are biased to the game. But I also don't want to alienate them either. You have to maintain the core group that you have, the one that's going to be there every single day. But I don't think you improve the game by asking them what's wrong with it or how to improve it, because they don't know, because they're going to like the game. They like the game anyway. You want the people who don't like the game helping you to improve your game. Because Ranger fans hated the Bautista bat flip at the time. Hated it. And these are some of the same people who are, you know, coming out in favor of this one. But, you know, they've got to figure out what they want to be. Do they want to be a sport that attracts, that they try to attract the younger audience, where they try to attract a casual observer, or do they want to be the sport that really caters and placates to their base, which is older people, more, you know, at the games, or people who play baseball as kids or as adults or grew up around the game. Do they want to cater to that? What do they want? What do they want? Because if you want to be that, then you're going to stay where you are, and you got to be okay with it. If you want to be the one that attracts the casual observer and try to be the NFL, then you've got more changes to do than just making it fun.
So what's your answer to which fan base to target?
Man, I mean, if you, I would say that if you, in order to target the fan base you don't have, you probably have to make too many changes to the game. So I would just deal with the fact that you have a fan base that loves the game, that is a smaller segment of the population, that doesn't watch out-of-market games,
yeah,
and you just deal with it. They're making $10 billion a year.
Yeah.
What are they worried about?
Right. Yeah. Money's not a problem, especially locally. Like, local baseball fans, the numbers show, love their teams. So that's a tough one. That's split because – I think the three of us can sit here and say over the next 15 years, 20 years of our kids' lives, they will watch what fraction of baseball that we did growing up. It'll basically be nothing. How many baseball, full three-hour, three-and-a-half-hour baseball games will our kids watch in the next 10 or 15 years total? Maybe a big playoff game? Maybe a World Series game if they get back there. The answer is going to be basically nothing. And then you got to answer the question of what happens when the current older fans move on. What are you going to have with the younger generation taking over? That's a problem.
I think as people get older, they generally gravitate towards it anyway because it's a slower game and it allows them, you know, to just kind of put something on and enjoy it. You know, like, go to a baseball game and see who's there. But, you know, youth baseball is exploding with people. In the last 10 years, it's up several million participants. It's way higher than it used to be. It went down, and now it's back up. For whatever reason, who knows why that is. So maybe that'll help get the game more popular with people watching it. But my kids, they don't watch. They watch highlights. There's maybe two or three kids on our baseball team that actually watch the game. They're doing other stuff.
All right, so that's just an initial first discussion. Troy, who would you target? Would you just keep it with the current old school fans, or would you be okay with having some of them run off? You may not have them run off either. It's like the people who said I'm boycotting the NFL.
Right.
You know, you're really not going to leave, even though you have a lot of these social changes. So which segment would you target, Troy?
You definitely want to target the youth. I mean, that's obvious. You want to target the youth. And that's not just in baseball. That's in business. I mean, in anything you look at, you want to look at the youth because you want to extend the life of your company with someone that's young that will carry you through generations and generations. It's like in TV, you talk about demographics and who's watching what. I know Tolos probably don't know a lot about television and ratings, but you always hear the term 1834. People between the ages of 18-34. You know why? Because they don't care if you're 74 years old and you're sitting in front of a boob tube eating a bowl of prunes. All they care about is that youth as they carry television through the generations. And baseball's the same way. But as RJ said, you go to a Rangers game or you go to any game, it is an older demographic. And as far as what kids watch today, I grew up a Rangers fan. But I grew up also like, oh, my God, Eric Davis is that bad. I got to turn over to a Reds game. Yeah. Oh, Kirby Puckett's about to do this. I got to watch him. Oh, look at Carney Lansford out there in Oakland. Yeah. Listen to what he's doing.
Lansford.
Like, I would tune in to see all these other players that were not on my teams. Today, the kids will watch if it shows up on a 10-second TikTok.
Yeah. And that's why baseball is, if you look at all these stadiums right behind home plate, they've all got, you know, their TikTok address, you know, URL there, or whatever it's called, their handle. They've got it there. They want you to go to their TikTok pages. They're trying to get it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.